Good morning. It's a great joy to be here today and to be together as we study God's Word this morning regarding on what it means, as we were praying, to be a man, but specifically, what does it mean to be the head? That's something that, at least in the Hispanic circles, it's told over and over again, you are la cabeza, you are the head, over and over again. We hear about that, and we grow with this concept. Okay, if I'm a man, I am the head of the family. And I think it has some responsibility upon it, it has some ideas upon it, but today, I want to dive a little bit deeper into what it means. What I found as I've grown in scriptures and I've read more my Bible is that my ideas of what it means to be the head of my wife were very short, were very limited, and were not extended to all the things that God wants me to be and God wants me to do as a head of my family. I was stuck in maybe one or two things and I realized, oh, this is much bigger than I really had seen before. So what I'd like to do today is we're going to have a little bit of a Bible study together. Hopefully the Lord will speak to us and will enrich us and strengthen us and help us to be the best heads of our house that we can be. So I'm going to ask you to find a partner because we will be doing some Bible reading and some discussions and some questions, and I would love for you to do that with someone else. So either, you know, two people or three people, but find somebody that you can read the Bible with and that you can just have a small conversation. So do that now, so when we start, we can just head on for that. If you have someone by your side, just stay there. If not, then just look for someone. But make sure you have a partner. Good, we're all paired up? Awesome, all right. Okay, so let's start just considering, where does the meaning of headship, what are some of the sources of what it means to be a leader in our house come from? How do we get to understand this idea of leadership? We understand it, we know it, we don't deny it. I think we grow up in it, we've seen those examples around us, and we're told several times that we are leaders in our house, that we are supposed to lead our wife and our kids, and that we are heads in our family. And we have different sources for that. And sometimes we don't even realize how those sources affect us, how they inform us, how they shape the way that we understand leadership in our household. Some of those sources are our surroundings. And our surroundings can be both like the positive and negative sides from it. It can be the culture that we live in. It can be the world. You know, there's this idea of entertainment and all the things that we see that kind of shoot on a very wrong idea of what leadership is. In the last 20 or 30 years, downplaying the role of a husband in the household and really pushing it back. But it's also the examples we see. I think our fathers have a great, great, great influence on how we regard leadership in the house, whether we are conscious about it or we're not. The examples that we grow around seeing, you know, the sentences that are giving as we're having coffee, all of this affect the way that we consider what does it mean to be the head in our households. And we have to understand that this is an influence in our lives. And maybe a lot of the concepts that we have about leadership and headship come from that. Another big source from our understanding of headship can be our experience. Just what we see works best for us. You know, sometimes you're not even thinking about the idea or is it, am I really doing what it's supposed to be? You're just thinking about what works. You know, we have busy lives, we are trying to run the family, and you just do like, oh, this seems to work, I'll do it. I'll stick to this because it works for us as a family. Or sometimes the reactions we receive from our wives shape the way that we do leadership, whether it's a good reaction or a bad reaction, and sometimes we can react to that and then decide upon it, especially our emotions or circumstances. And definitely our understanding of Scripture. You know, what are the things we have understood? What are the things we have heard? What are the things that we have meditated deeply on? So all of this ties to shape who we are. But as believers, we understand, we want to see what Scripture says about this. What does it mean to be the head? And we want to shape our experiences. We want to conform our feelings. We want to make decisions not based on our feelings and about what works, but based on the model that we have from scriptures and adapt to that. And that's the challenge that we have today. So as we explore the theme of head, we look into that word in the New Testament, and it appears 87 times. Don't worry, we're not going to look at the 87 times this morning, because 72 of those times is just the physical part of the body. Okay, it's just simply kephale, simply means your head. That's it. Like, it's this body part that we have right here. Some of us have it much bigger than others, but we all have it. Okay, we all have this idea of kephale. But 11 of them, 11 of those references are to a figure of authority or leadership. It has this idea of somebody that is leading, somebody that has some authority. And out of those 11, 7 refer to Christ as the head. 1 refers to God as the head. And 3 of them are about us. 3 of those references are about man as the head of woman, specifically for that. We are not told to be head of anything else. This word kephale is head is reserved 7 times for Christ, 1 time for God, 3 times for us. And in those 3 times, we are head of our wives. So I think it's very interesting to see how do we understand it. And very often, we stick to these 3 references. 1 Corinthians 11, Ephesians 5:23, and we stick to those. But you might realize that in order to understand what it means to be the head of a woman, first, we should understand how Christ is the head and how God is the head. And maybe that will give us a better understanding of the role that we are supposed to have. 5 times is translated as a cornerstone. And again, that's 5 times translated for Jesus. So that's the word kephale. So what are we going to do this morning? Today, we're going to look first as Christ as the head. So we have the 7 references right here, okay? And what I'd like you to do for the next couple of minutes is I want you to, with your partner, read through those different references, okay? And then summarize together. What does it say or what does it mean in that particular scripture that Christ is the head? Does it mean he has priority? Does it mean he has authority? Like, what does it mean to be the head in those particular references, okay? We'll have 5 minutes to do that, so get with your partner and start discussing. Thank you. Thank you. we might not be finished yet, but we'll continue for the second time. Say that again. Oh yeah, just 5 hours. All right, so it's a great exercise. You might want to continue meditating on those passages back at home. But you're beginning to get an idea, right? So if you can throw some words at me or some statements, what does it mean that Christ is the head? Say that again.
Head of church.
Okay, the head of church, all right?
Head of every man.
Head of every man, good.
Order.
He brings order.
Savior of the body.
He has authority. Yes.
Savior of the body.
He is the savior of the body.
So how about the principality?
Over all principality and power?
Firstborn of the church.
Okay, he's the firstborn. He has a position of authority and of honor. Yes.
Preeminent.
Preeminent. Good.
His authority is from God.
Okay, authority comes from God. Is given by God to him. Good.
Responsibility,
great.
He
submits to God. Very good, thank you. So, as we get to see Christ as the head, he certainly has this incredible position, but more than power and authority, I love the sentence that was given here, it's a position of responsibility. He is the example for the church to follow. He is the one that is leading towards the will of God. He is the one to bring order upon the church that has been given to him. He has been given this position, not taken, but given this position by God the Father himself. We see Christ linked to the body, linked to the church in an intimate and loving manner. Not Christ ruling over the church, but Christ loving the church and leading the church in his love. He is the supreme authority over the church, but he's leading the body not towards his own selfish ambitions. Christ is leading the body towards the nourishment and the growth of the body. He's the source and the goal and the means of edification in the body. And he has given this place of authority by the Father and proven worthy by sacrifice, care, and service. So, yes, being the head has this huge, huge meaning of authority and of leadership on us. So, when somebody tells me, you are the head of your wife, oof, suddenly, this is a way piece of responsibility that is given upon me. This is not a free pass just to make all the decisions in the house, just to choose what we're going to eat or what are we going to do. This is a heavy, hefty responsibility on my side to be an imitator of Christ. And we're going to jump a little more into that because we're not Christ for our wives, that's for sure. But there are certainly some responsibilities that come along with that. And leadership is one of them. But before we jump into leadership and maybe think just what leadership means, I think Jesus needs to give us a reminder. And he gives a good reminder to the apostles in Matthew 20, 25 and 28. The apostles are discussing, the mom of James, John comes and says like, hey, would you allow my children to sit by your right and left side? Everybody's mad at them. Jesus calms them down and says, look, but Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom of many. And this is probably one of the greatest teachings on leadership that one could ever have. Because when we think about being the heads of our household, and we think of Christ being the head of the church, how did he come to be the head of the church? How did he come to be in that position? Because first, he humbled himself. First, he served the church. First, he gave his life for the church. And God placed him in that place of authority. And he is our Lord, and he is our leader, and he is our head. But it's amazing how at the same time, He is our servant. He serves us. He lives for us. He intercedes for us. He died for us. He lives for us. Do you see that? So different. Because when you have a worldly Lord, when you have a worldly leader, everything that the people under them do is for them. You serve the Lord. You give them glory. You are doing everything for them. And the Lord very rarely does anything for the servants. But not in our case. Our head, the main example of our head, what it means to be the head, it's one to whom we give him everything. We give our lives. We give our time. We give our money. We give everything we have to Jesus. But guess what? He's given so much more. And no matter how much we give to him, he's given so much more to us. He's the one, the first one who served to us. And that has to be in our heads. Because if we think about whether future husbands or us that are husbands right now, of what it means to be a head, the word servant needs to come to our mind. If we are to lead our houses, if we are to lead our wives, if we are to be leaders for our kids and for our wives and our spouses, we need to follow the best example of the best leader that has ever existed in this whole wild world. We need to follow the example of Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for man. We'll dig a little bit deeper on it, because now I want us to focus on the two main passages that speak to us as heads of our wives. And that's Ephesians 5:23 and 1 Corinthians 11. So go to Ephesians 5 for 1 second, please. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll be from verse 22. Now, I want you to take just 2 minutes, okay? 2 quick minutes to read with your partner Ephesians 5, 22 to 20 to 33. 22 through 33, okay? And I want you to find 3 ways in which Christ is an example of what we need to do as heads, okay? To do. What do we do as the head of our wives? By following Christ's example, okay? We got 3 minutes for that. Ephesians 5, 22 to 33. Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Sorry, somebody was asking for that. Thank you. back here. So as we read through this beautiful chapter, you might want to notice a couple of things. And I want to point you to that. You've probably already noticed them. Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands. And what is the comparison here? As to the Lord. Okay? Now, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, look down into verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. What's the example here? As Christ loved the church. Look down to verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. You go to verse 32. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So, who is this passage about? Is it about the husband and the wife, or is it about Christ? You know, and the answer is yes. You know, it's both of them. Paul is speaking into marriage, but as he's done in all of Ephesians, he's reminding us the center, the reason, the source, the example of everything we do, of our salvation, of the beginning of the world, of the daily life of Christians, and of our marriages is Christ. So we have many influences in our lives. We have many examples. But if we are to be the heads of our wives that God has called us to be, there is one person, there is one example that we should all be imitating, that we should all be trying to be more like, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, when you take a closer look to Ephesians, there are different ideas of what it means to be the head of his wife. You see, it's not only about authority, right? There's a lot about care and love and sacrifice. And we'll take a look a little bit about that. Look, let's look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So here's Christ the head. What does Christ the head do for his wife, the body? He loved her. And what was the most intense and incredible show of love that he could have? It was giving himself up for her. So there's this idea of sacrificial love that comes with being the head of our wives. That's part of the responsibility. We don't get to take the leadership and set aside the love for them. No, no, no. If you want the leadership of the household, you bring along the sacrificial love for them. That idea that we put them first, we love them first, we sacrifice ourselves for them. And I love that. Part of being a man, it's a call to sacrifice. It's a call to not live to ourselves or for ourselves. It's a call to put our lives there for our children, for our wives, and to give ourselves for them. We are to imitate Christ in that way. But look even further. Why did Christ died himself for the church? Verse 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to him in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So there's this idea that Jesus not only dies for the church and gives him life, but he's continuously at work through the word of God. And isn't that what he prays in John 17? I have sanctified them through your word. And it's this idea of the Word of God being so central and so important to us as husbands to sanctify our wives. And part of our job as heads of our household is to bring our wives to the Lord. Is to help them in their sanctification process as they help us. And a huge part of that is not us, is not our opinions, is not our decisions, it's the Word of God. So I want to challenge you, men, this morning to ask yourselves how intentional and how continuous is your outpouring of the word to your wife. When there's a problem at home, when there's something going on with the kids, when she's feeling down or she's just overwhelmed by life or whatever is going around them, what do we bring to them? Our comfort, our words, our presence and we think like, is that not enough? Why? Well, what do they need? How can they be sanctified? How can they be purified? Not by us, it's by our Lord. And how does the Lord do it? Through His Word. And that has been a great challenge to me. Because as I look back, I realize, wow, there's so many conversations that I had with my wife, where I'm trying to encourage her, or I'm trying to help her out, or I'm trying to correct something at home, but I've never like placed the Word of God center in it. It's been more about my opinions of what I heard, what I said, but I've never like taken scripture, and well, not never, but seldom taken scripture, and look, here's, let's meditate on this. Look at what the Lord is saying. This is something to encourage you. This is something for both of us to think about. And that's a huge responsibility, man. Because that means we need to be in the Word. We need to know the Word. We need to know what the Word says about different situations in our lives so we can take our wives to them. As I was doing this, my wife wrote to me last night about 8 p.m. And just, she was so discouraged. Had a rough day, rough day. She's been with two kids for 5 weeks now. We have a dog, and the dog had 8 puppies right before I left the house. My parents-in-law are there. In the last 4 weeks, the washer has broken down. The fridge broke down yesterday. There's been some minor things that have been going in the house. And then yesterday, she just had a breakdown and kind of exploded towards my younger son. And that made her feel so bad and so guilty. And she was just soaking on that. And she just wrote this tirade in WhatsApp, that when you receive a message that long, you're like, oh, something happened. Something happened. And as I read that, I was just immediately wanted to just talk back to her, like, don't worry about that. Don't talk like that. That's okay. Everything's okay. And I just paused and said, like, wait. What have I been studying? What do I need to do? I need to take her to Jesus. I need to sanctify her by the Word. So instead of replying right away, I fell on my knees, pray to the Lord, ask the Lord to give me a word for my wife. And I came to 1 John, wrote some verses for her, encouraged her, reminded her, He is your Lord, He is your shepherd, He is the one to sanctify you, He's forgiven you, and I'm here for you and to pray for you and to be with you. And that meant so much more for my wife as she wrote back this morning, because that restored her. That lifted her up. That lifted her eyes from the situation to the Lord Jesus. And I realized, okay, that's more of my job. It's not to be the Savior for my wife. It's to take her to her Savior. It's not to give her my words. It's to take her to the Word of God. And I need to do that more often. Much more often. As you realize here, he keeps talking about this idea of giving ourselves for them. That's what he has done. That. Verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, as is himself his Savior. So, what does it mean to be the head? It's about caring. It's about sacrificing. It's a selfless focus. And that, I love that. That selfless focus of our Lord. You know, because oftentimes, I gotta be honest with you, I'm not selfless at home. I'm selfish. It's one of my sins. It's one of the things that I struggle with. And that I've been very blessed that my wife points out to me so I can bring it to the Lord and He transforms me through that. But I'm thinking a lot about myself when I get home. I'm tired. I've been working. I've been giving everything to everyone all day. And I kind of think about, like, this is my place to receive, to be attended, to have for me. And I need to change that. And that's one of the convictions the Lord has been bringing to me as I study this topic. That as before I get home, as I'm parking the car or before I open the door, I need to stop and pray and just ask the Lord, Lord, help me to continue to give. Give me the strength to focus on my family now. I'm here to serve them. I've been serving others, maybe for me in ministry, maybe for you at work, but I come here to serve them as well. And when I do that, and I have the lucidity to do that before getting home, I have a very different attitude towards my children and everybody else there. One last, 1 Corinthians 11. And this one is fantastic. Fantastic. Because it gives us a great idea about what being the head is. In 1 Corinthians 11, 3, we read, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. So you have this great sandwich right here. When on both extremes, we have God being the head, God being the head of Christ. Well, actually, you have Christ being the head of man. It reversed here. Then God being the head of Christ and man being the head of woman. So these are our examples. What does it mean that Christ is the head of man? How has Christ shown us that authority and that leadership? How is he our head? Why do we submit to Christ? We submit to Christ because we trust him. Because he's given himself for us. Because he makes decisions that glorify God, but every decision that glorifies God is a decision for our own edification, our own benefit, our own joy, and our own exaltation. And that's amazing. How is God the head of Christ? And I think that's really important. Are God the Father and God the Son both the same God? Yes. The answer is yes. Is at some point God the Father superior to God the Son? No, right? We believe in the Trinity. What does that mean? That we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're the three, the same God with the same authority, with the same power, with the same characteristics, right? For some reason, do we think that God the Father somehow has more sovereignty than God the Son? No. They are the same. They're equal in dignity. They're equal in glory. They're equal in power. They're equal in everything there is. So being the head doesn't mean being superior. That's very important for us to realize. Because if we are the heads of our wives, by no reason does that mean that we are superior to our wives. Man and woman, both of them created in the image of God. Both of them. Together created in the image of God. So we got to be very careful, because historically, men have understood that being in the position of leadership, and I think that's because of the distortion of sin in our lives and in this world, somehow means that we are superior to them, and we're not. We are equal. God the Father equal to God the Son. We have a different role. We have a different responsibility, but we have an equality in value and dignity. Christ, the head of man. And how does Christ behave as a head? Again, sacrificing, giving, loving. And look at God the Father. Very quickly, I'm not going to go deeply into this, but in John 17, if you want to see the relationship of God the Father and God the Son, John 17 is a great chapter to go to. Look at what the head is doing. Verse 1, the Father is glorifying the Son. Verse 2, the Father is giving authority to the Son, to Jesus. He gives him authority. Verse 4, Jesus obeys the will of the Father. He's submitting to it. Verse 11, there's unity and intimacy between God the Father and God the Son. They're one. They are a unity. And verse 23, the Father loves the Son. And I think all of this provides a great challenge for us of what it means to be head. What does it mean for us to be the head of our families and of our wives? I think it does for me. One of the things that it challenges me to do is to realize, okay, if I'm to lead my family, then I'm to serve my family and I'm to serve my wife, and I'm here to think about the ways in which I can also show her that love, that sacrifice, and that idea that I'm not leading you to my selfless desires, I'm leading you towards Jesus. And here's, whenever we do premarital counseling and we get to the topic of roles within the marriage, my wife will always tell the ladies as we're going through this, the same sentence. And it goes like this. Whenever I see that Christian is praying and is following Jesus, it's so much easier for me to submit to him, because I know he's submitting to Christ. But whenever I see that he's making decisions on his own and that he's not behaving Christ-like, I know it's still my responsibility to submit, but it makes it so much harder for me. So I realize that one of my responsibilities as a head for my wife, and if I want her to follow, if I want her to submit as Ephesians says to them that they need to submit, I need to be submitting first to the Lord. I need to be submitting first to Jesus. And I need to filter my decisions in the household and the things that I'm leading them to thinking. You know, am I leading them to what I think is best or what I want for the best for us? Or am I truly, honestly looking unto Jesus for that? Are they seeing me praying and leading them towards that? Are we living in a sacrificial way towards our wives? And I love them. I mean, my wives, I love her. I just love her. And I see so many of our wives here. They have such a beautiful manner of being and behaving towards us. They continually serve us, continuously. They have this servant heart in them that is continually pouring for us. You know, and it's very easy to just fall into our chairs and just let us be served. Rise up and be servants also for them. And you will be ahead that God has called you to be. So I hope this fills you with some challenges as we think about how to lead on and how to head on. And I would just like you to leave you with 1 minute of pray individually and ask the Lord, what is one thing that you can do differently as a head of your wife, starting today from what Scripture has taught us this morning? One thing that you want to ask the Lord and think about it, that you can do very practically and maybe start implementing it today as we go out. So 1 minute to pray and then I'll close. Lord, every time we look into the mirror of your word and we look into who you are, we realize, just like Isaiah, woe is me. How far are we from the stature, the measure of you, our Lord, our Jesus, our prime example. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your instructions. Thank you for your example. And I do pray that that all of us who are blessed and challenge with the responsibility of being the heads of our wives, that we can set our eyes on you, even if we've been married for a long time now, that you would help us to be better, to be more like you, to love more sacrificially, to serve more intentionally, to provide the word of God to our wives in a gentle and profound way for them. Help us, God, to lead them to you. Help us to follow you, Jesus. And help us to be truly followers of you and have such a clear direction from you in our lives that our wives and our children may see that and know that as they follow us, they're following Jesus. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.